Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. Subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify to get notified when new episodes are available to download or stream. You can also follow us on social media at PC Las Vegas and visit our website, praisechapellasvegas.com, to find out more about us and give online. Thanks again for joining and enjoy today's message.
For 20 years, I also have a nonprofit, Reach LA, and we reach out to the young girls in the foster care system, those who are aging out, transitioning out the system, because we realize that 87% of the women in the streets come from the foster care system. So I said it's better to reach them before they hit the streets. So that's one of my passions. And just recently just launched one of my business, and it's to empower women in all spheres of the world. So my love and passion is to empower women. I've been married for many, many years, 33 years. I have three grown children. My baby's about to be 20. My middle child is 27. Or 26, I think, yeah, 26, with a 1.5-year-old. And then I have my 32-year-old son with two kids, and my two grandchildren are 11 and 7 years old. So I have a handful of a life, but a beautiful life, because I get to give everything back. It's all about giving everything back. Let me tell you, Praise Chapel, that I had been praying for you, and the Lord gave me a message for you. And I love this topic. Renewal, right? Renewed. We could go in so many ways. But the Lord wanted me to tell you that there is renewal in the midst of difficulties. See, we think that difficulties is a moment where, like, life sucks. Life is over. Lord, just take me, Jesus. I don't want to live here no more. But God is telling you that in the midst of difficulties, there is an opportunity for a renewed mind, a renewed life, right? And so that's what he wants me to preach to you today. Life has process and different transitions. And every time we're in a transition in a process of our life, we tend to flee. We tend to not want to suffer, right? Us humans, we don't like hardships. We don't like to suffer. But everything depends on how you perceive life and the lens in which you see life. See, and if we don't learn the lessons of the process of our life, that's when we repeat the cycles. I don't know how many of you have been repeating cycles, but when we don't learn lessons, that's when we get stuck into cycles. And many people get stuck into toxic relationships, cycles, whether it's a love affair, whether it's a family member, whether it is, you know, a friend. We get stuck in the cycle of toxic relationships. We get stuck in the cycle of relationship to relationship. We get stuck in a cycle of sabotaging ourselves, or we're stuck in a cycle of one job after another one. There's people that do not know how to hold a job. As soon as a hard moment comes in that job, you want to leave. I'm just going to leave this job. I'm going to get another job. And so there's no stability in your life. So when you come to a church, and as soon as some hardships arise, you want to leave the church. But because you are repeating cycles, there's cycles in our lives that we must be aware of in order to break them. And so when there is hardship in your life or a difficult moment, it is an opportunity for you to grow. It is an opportunity for you to be renewed. But it all depends if we have awareness of these cycles and these traits in our lives, okay? So we're gonna dive more into it. I want to talk to you about this story in the Word, and it's about Hagar. And many know the story of Sarai, you know, the mother of nations, but not many teach on the life of Hagar and her story. But there's a powerful story behind her life, and it's always inspired me, and it's always taught me some great principles. You know, Sarai could not bear children. And so Sarah comes up with this great idea to tell her husband, look, use my maidservant. You know, maybe she could give you a child. And so Abraham, you know, being real obedient, agreed to it. And a lot of the times when we don't see God coming through in our lives, the way we want it and the time we want it, we always have the tendency to try to help God and do things our way, right? And so we're going to get into the story. We're going to pick the story up in Genesis 16, verse 1. And I just want to declare something over your life real quick. Father God, I declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, that women would arise in this place with a renewed mind, Lord, with a renewed perspective, Lord. I declare that those toxic cycles, they will no longer see, Father God. I declare that toxic traits will no longer be a hindrance in their life, Father God. I declare, Lord Jesus, that a sound mind will also arise through a renewal of the mind, Lord, through a renewal, Father God, of perspective, Lord. I declare, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that a new season has arisen, Lord, that they enter into a new season of their life, Lord, and they will no longer battle with the demons they've been dealing with all their life, Lord. I declare, Lord, that a new woman arise in Praise Chapel, Las Vegas, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I like to move around. Okay, so Genesis 16, verse 1. Let's read the story. And I'm reading the New Living Translation. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had been not able to bear children to him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed. No questions asked, right? So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relationships with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. So she started treating Sarai with lots of disrespect. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show you who's wrong, either you or me." Because when things get tough, we love to blame others. When the things get difficult, it's so hard for us humans to acknowledge our wrongdoings, because it's easier. Let me put this blame on someone else, right? It's easier to blame someone else because there's nothing wrong with me. And so Sarai had no clue that she was trying to help God in this process. See, God had not yet promised her the child, but she said, "Since I have not been able to conceive, let me go ahead and just help God because he's taking too long for me." And so when we tend to want to help God, when we don't wait for God's time, when we want to help God come up with our solution, we tend to hurt a lot of people along the way. And then after hurting people, we want to blame others. Well, it was your fault. And this is a little bit what's going on in the life of Sarah and Abram. And so verse 6 says, Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. I want to focus on Hagar, because life in this moment was very difficult for her. I don't know if you've ever lived in a season where everything was just so hard for you. It was one thing after another. Life has been very harsh for you. And maybe it's been ever since your childhood that life has been really harsh. I don't know if someone in this place has ever said, "Why can't anything come out right? Why is it that something's always going on wrong?" I don't know if there's someone here that's ever lived this process or is currently living this process. I want to tell you that this word is for you. And I want to tell you that just like Hagar ran away, there's a lot of you that have been running away way too long. Life gets difficult and you run away because that's the way that it's a defense mechanism. I'm just going to run away because I'm protecting my heart this way. There's difficulties in your job and you leave that job because instead of confronting that boss, instead of confronting the situation, it's just easier for me to run away because that's what I've done all my life. And what God wants to tell you today is not that you're a bad person. You're not a bad person. It's just that you do not have awareness of my behavior and my tendencies when things do get tough. And so God wants you to have self-awareness. How is it that you behave when things get tough in your life? How is it that you react when things are tough in your life? Do you tend to snap back? Do you tend to be feisty, you know, at home? Do you tend to be feisty at work? Do you tend to be feisty in your relationship? When you're feisty at work or your relationship, you need to ask yourself, why am I acting this way? We need to start having awareness of our own behaviors. And so she ran away. And in these opportunities of hardships where we need to confront them in order to grow, confront them in order to be renewed. I don't know what you've been avoiding your whole life. I don't know what you've been running away. But God is telling the woman in Praise Chapel Las Vegas, stop running. Stop running. Stop running from this conversation. Stop fleeing from this conversation that you need to take. Stop running away from this person you need to forgive. Stop running away from this obstacle you've been facing one too many times, because that's why it becomes a cycle. It becomes a cycle when we don't learn the lesson of that hardship, when we don't learn the lesson of the process. You know what the meaning of insanity means? Is you keep doing the same thing over and over again, but you're getting the same results. I don't know how many of you are stuck in a cycle right now. Whether it's a bad relationship, whether it's a bad job, whether it's just this bad situation, and you find yourself in this bad situation, but now it's a different person. Now you find yourself in this bad situation at your work, but it's a different job. There's this one girl in my church. I could talk about everybody in my church because they're not here. There's this one girl in my church, and you know, she comes from a very traumatic background. There's some trauma in her life that I'm working with. And this girl, I just met her like 6 months, and she's had like 4 different jobs. And so now she's serving in the ministry, and she started serving in certain ministry, and then she left that ministry because I feel like I need to grow in the word, so I'm just going to go and join this Bible study. And she joined the Bible study, but then she's like, I kind of like changed my mind. And she said, look, can you disciple me? And I was like, okay, well, if you want me to disciple you, you're going to have to learn how to like listen, like just, you need to learn how to trust in my advice. Like you need to just learn how to trust me. And so, okay, Pastor Cynthia, I'm going to trust you in this. And she comes back to serve in the security ministry. She comes back to serve in the security ministry. And she's like, you know what, Pastor Cynthia, I think I'm just going to leave this ministry because they lack structure. Because they lack structure. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of just leaving the church because you say you were going to disciple me, but you haven't been there for me. Yeah. And granted, I got a church, 1,200 member church, and, you know, she thinks she's the only one. But I said, well, let me tell you something. If you want to leave the church, go ahead and leave the church. But don't expect for me to call you, go look for you, because you're no longer under my authority, number one. Number two, you said you wanted me to be disciple you and that you were going to trust me. And so you need to trust that when I don't call you, it's for a reason, because I don't want you to put your faith in me. You need to put your faith in God. I don't want you to run to me every time there's a problem. I want you to run to God. And so she sends me a long email. I'm sorry, Pastor Cynthia. You know my minds are playing tricks on me and blah, blah, blah. And so she's good again, right? This is a cycle in her life. It's a cycle. But the problem is when you don't have awareness of your behavior and the tendencies and the way you tend to talk to others and the way you tend to treat others, and then you want to come back and like nothing happened. So she needs to be aware that this is a tendency in her life. So she says, I want to leave the security ministry because they have no structure and they need to learn a lot. And I say, you are not going to leave this ministry. And she looks at me and says, you are not allowed to leave this ministry. If you want to stay in my church, you need to stay in this ministry, because you keep running. You keep running from hard situations. You keep running, and all your life you've been running, and I'm not going to allow you to run. And she stayed quiet and she said, I've never noticed that. So she had no self-awareness that her whole life she had been running away. And so Hagar was treated so harshly that she finally ran away. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside the spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm running away from my mistress. This is the angel of the Lord. This was the angel himself asking her, where are you going and where are you coming from? He knew where she was going. He knew where she was coming, but he wanted her to have awareness of how she was behaving in the difficult moment of her life. He wanted her to have self-reflection. I don't know how many of you take the time to reflect on your life. Just sit there and just reflect on your life. Can you just sit one day and think of your last 5 years of your life? See, when you're in a hard situation, when you're going through a process or a transition in your life, it's not just the now moment. It's a transition you've been in the last 5, 7 years. How long has your process and your transition been? How long have you been living in that cycle? How long you've been living in that hardship? And so he wanted her to self-reflect. Are you the person that retrieves when there's a problem? Because we have those people, when there's a hard situation, they retrieve. I'm not going to talk to no one. I'm not going to answer no one's calls. I'm not even going to go to church. That's the people that like to flee. That's the people that like to retrieve. But God does not want you to retrieve. God wants you to come out of your comfort zone. God wants you to do the things you're not used to doing. Are you the person that fights, that has an attitude, that takes it out on everyone else, that blames everyone else? You have road rage? Are you the person that needs retail therapy? Because there's people that need retail therapy. I just need to go buy some things. I'm going through some things, and I just need to spend money that I really don't have and put it on a credit card that I'm not know how I'm going to pay next month, but this is going to make me feel good right now. Or are you the person that needs to medicate yourself? Are you the person that needs to run to that one toxic person every time some hard situation, you're going through some hard situation in your life? It's so important for us to close our eyes and just reflect on our life, reflect on our behavior and our tendencies when hardships come to rise, because God wants you to get out of those cycles. There's certain cycles you need to leave. There's certain cycles God doesn't want you to repeat. There's certain cycles you don't even want to repeat, but you don't know how to get out of them. And I want to tell you, if that's you, that does not make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad person. God is speaking to you tonight because he's giving you awareness of your behaviors and your tendencies so you could no longer be stuck in that cycle. God is here speaking to you tonight because he wants you to be delivered from these things you've been running away your whole life. And so the reason why the angel of the Lord himself asked Hagar, look, where are you coming from and where are you going? And she said, I'm running away. There was a divine intervention in that moment where God himself had to intervene in this situation. And the reason why you're here today is because God is intervening in your own situation. God is bringing you awareness. You might come to a service one day and the Lord just speaks to you through the message. Pastor, how did you know? I needed to hear that message. A sister might call you and say, look, I had a dream about you. Someone might pray for you and the Lord himself will give you a direct word. That is a divine intervention. And Hagar, in the middle of her difficulty, in the middle of the hardest moment of her life, the Lord sends her the angel. God himself was this angel. He needed to have this divine intervention to give her awareness of what really was going on in her mind and really what was going on in her heart. And this is what the angel of the Lord tells her. The angel of the Lord says to her, return to your mistress and submit to authority. Oof. Return to your mistress and submit to authority. He added, and I will give you more descendants than you can count. When you know how to return, when you know how to submit, there is a reward. I'm going to tell you another situation of another person in my church. So there's this girl, you know, very friendly girl, outgoing, outspoken, and she starts, you know, getting to know me, and I'm just a people's person. I love on everyone, and I bring her on board onto my nonprofit. And everything was good, and maybe about a year later, you know, one of the other girls from my organization brings her to a meeting with me, and she said, I have to bring you, and she was like, please, can you just talk to me and let me know what's going on? Like, this is not necessary for you to call a meeting to the pastors. And anyways, the whole meeting was because she had been murmuring. She had been murmuring against the church and church people. And she was confronted, you know, because I had already spoke to her privately and told her, this is wrong what you're doing. This is wrong what you're saying. And anyways, she left the church because she was confronted. She left the church and then she cries, woof, church hurt, church hurt. And it's like, no, it was not church hurt. You were confronted because you were murmuring and you don't want to take responsibility. This was a great opportunity for her to grow as a person. Why? She had just come from another church. She was repeating the same cycle in my church for, you know, she didn't tell me that, but I know that now, that she was repeating the same cycle from that other church in my church. She leaves, she wants to cry, woof. And she's still roaming around looking for a church when she could have just returned to submit and said, you know what? You are a good friend because you are right. This has been a toxic trait of mine that when I'm unhappy, I start murmuring and I start speaking against people and I start speaking against authority. But you know what? I'm aware that that's something that I need to learn and grow. There wouldn't have been a great opportunity of growth in her life. She could have been this great leader in my church, but she decided to run away. She decided to leave, and she's still roaming around. But something so powerful happens when you know how to go back and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm sorry. I was just living through some difficult moments in my life, and I said things I shouldn't have said, but I acknowledge that I was wrong for saying that, and I was acknowledged that I was wrong for acting this way. I'm sorry, I'm here, and I'm sitting in your church, and I'm going to receive from you. Ooh, there's so much growth a person receives from God when they know how to go back and submit and be humble. There's so much growth. You know, I counsel a lot of marriages, and I'm a man's mom, and so I always like to give the man the benefit of the doubt, because the men are portrayed to be bad, right? And I like to tell the wives, look, I know us wives, we want to be right all the time. Most of the time we are. We want to be right all the time, but let me tell you that you're not always right. Like, you have some part in this as well. And so, you know, why don't you start being responsible for your actions instead of bringing me a list of all that he's not and all he doesn't do? Why don't you give me your list of the things you don't do and the things you don't know? Let's start that way, because when we learn, when we know how to accept our wrongdoings, it's humility, right? You know, we have to learn how to be humble. And so the angel of the Lord tells her, return and submit. Why would God tell her to return to a harsh situation? Why would it be that God tells her, look, go back and submit to your authority? Because when you go back and you submit to your authority, there's things in your life I want to take out. You know, it's like a diamond in the rough. Let me polish you. Let me teach you before you want to lead someone. Let me teach you how to be led. There's a lot of people that come to the church that want to come straight to a title or a position, but have you led someone before? Have you been led before? Have you been led before? He says, go back and submit to your authority. There's so much power when one knows how to submit to authority, even if they're wrong. Because the one who gives you the honor is God. The Bible says everything we do unto the Lord. And so even if we're unhappy at our job, but you submit unto that boss, God's going to honor you. The Bible says all that you do unto the Lord. So guess what? Even my boss, you're so unhappy in your job and you criticize and you talk about your boss with everyone, but you want a raise. It's not going to work that way. Even if they're wrong, but you are submitted, even if you're wrong and you say, I'm going to be the best employee in this place, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, I'm not going to talk about no one, I'm going to mind my own business, I'm here because I'm going to do a job, everything I do unto the Lord. Next thing you know, the Lord promotes you. Because you are focused, because you are submitting to authority. The Bible even says that we have to submit to the laws of the country you're living in. That's how powerful submission is. And everything we do unto the Lord. So it is the Lord, the one that honors us. And so there is a lot of lessons learned when we know how to submit. He said, return and submit. But submit seems like it's a cuss word to a lot of people, right? Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I pay my own bills. I do this. Nobody does nothing for me. Bah, bah, bah. And you're stuck. And you're stuck. Return and submit. So much growth. And it's all also, Proverbs says that, Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So much disgrace comes when there's pride, but so much wisdom comes when there's humility. God will honor that. And we also have room to learn from others. When you feel like I have nothing to learn from anyone, then you're stuck. I've been in ministry 20 plus years, and I'm still learning. I've been a wife for 33 years, and I'm still learning. I've been a mom for way so many years, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning. The day you feel like you already know it all, that just tells me that you're stuck. When I see a person that comes into my church and they give me this long resume and they know it all and do it all, oh, beware of that person. Beware of that person. So learning from others also has, we need to have a teachable spirit. We need to have a teachable spirit in life. Learn from others. God wants you to be open about your hardships. God wants you to be open about your weakness. And of course, you need to be wise who to open up. But God cannot bring justice in the areas you choose to remain silent in. God cannot bring justice to your life in the areas you choose to remain silent. God will bring justice to your life once you start speaking up and speaking out about how you feel and how you're being treated and how life is treating you and how's it going in school and how's it going in your work. So you need to be vocal about these things and stop allowing all these things to be consumed in your heart. Because when one person might tell you something and it's like this bomb ready to explode because you've been holding in so much for so long. And God wants you to speak so you can start learning from your sisters, learn from your pastor, learn from, you know, your neighbors. There's so much beautiful things, so much wisdom we could learn from other people. You know, I love talking to older women. I love talking to older women like grandma status. Well, I'm a grandma, but, you know, another different, the other kind of grandmas. There's so much wisdom. And I see, you know, a couple of older women in here. It's like, if you could just tap into their wisdom. They've lived through some things. They've gone through some things. If you could just tap into that wisdom, when you tap into other people's wisdoms, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer. You know, I always share my story. And I share my hardships that I've had in my marriage. And I'm so open about it now because I don't want you to suffer. You don't have to go through the things I went through. I already went through it. I'm going to publicly talk about it. I'm going to publicly share it because I don't want you to go through what I went through. I made a way so that you won't have these difficulties. So start tapping into other people's wisdom so you can start growing, so that you can start having a renewed mind, so you can start breaking these cycles in your life, so that you could be just renewed in every step of your way. How many of you want to a renewed relationship, a spark of love in your marriage? How many of you want just enjoy your life? There's some people that get bitter along the process and they just are so unhappy. They're so unhappy that when good comes to them, they can't even recognize it. You've been so bitter that when this good relationship comes, you don't even recognize good relationship because you're just so used to bad. But God wants you to start enjoying your life. God wants you to have awareness. God wants you to stop running. God wants you to start confronting difficulties, because when you confront difficulties, that's when there's a renewed mind. That's when you start breaking these cycles so that you could live a victorious life. And so when you start learning from others, you start growing and having this personal development and breaking free from those toxic traits. The verse 11 says, and the angel also said, and you are not pregnant. Verse 11, and you will give birth to a son. You will name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord heard your cry of distress. God hears you. Not only does he hear you, but he sees you. Verse 13, she says, thereafter Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who has spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. And so you serve a God that hears you and that sees you. It is so beautiful that we have a God that hears you and that sees you. And the reason why you're listening to this message about there's renewal and hardships is because he has heard you. It's because he has seen you. It's because he's telling you, look, I want you to grow from this situation. Look, I want you to start enjoying your life. Let me bring you a message of self-awareness. Let me bring you this message so that you can stop running away because you're just so used to running. Let me bring you this message so you can start looking deep into your heart and the root of why you run. See, this young girl from my church, she's used to running because her mother gave her away when she was little. At 3 years old, she dropped her off at the doorstep of her father's home. And when she dropped her off, her and her brother, and she never saw her again. Then the father sexually abuse her, and then after that goes to prison, and he goes to prison and he just leaves her to his relatives, and God knows how these people treated her. And so whole life she's been running, and it's been a way of a defense mechanism of her life. But you can't be in church and be in God and continue running every time life gets difficult. Life is going to be difficult. I'm not here to tell you that your life is going to be beautiful the rest of your life. We're going to face hardships. But what you do with that hardship, it says a lot about how your future is going to look. How you're going to act in the middle of the hardship. What are your tendencies, your behavior? How you're going to act in the middle of difficulty. That's going to give your path to the future. And so I'm not here to tell you that life is going to be beautiful the rest of your years. No, but I am here to tell you that you have a God that sees you and that God that hears you, and that he doesn't want you to run away anymore. He wants you to confront the situation, and he's made you more than a conqueror because you are his daughter. And the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of self-domain. When there is fear in your life, you need to know this fear is not God. Fear is not of God. You are powerful in God. Your voice has so much power. If you would only speak, God will bring justice into that situation. And so God wants you to know that in the middle of hardship, there could be a renewal. And so Hagar said, you are the God who sees me and the God that hears me. Hagar teaches us a valuable lesson on renewal in the face of hardship by examining our responses to challenges. From this day forward, you're not going to respond to challenges the way you were used to responding to challenges. From this day forward, you're going to rise up as a strong woman of God. You're going to rise up as a strong child of God, and you're going to stand up against he who has been guilting you and shaming you. You're going to rise up against the lies of Satan, and you're going to confront him, and you're going to start speaking truth over your life. You're going to say, I love myself. I could do this. I am worthy. I am worthy of someone loving me the right way. I am worthy of having a good job. I am worthy of someone treating me good. You're going to rise up and you say, no longer you're going to talk to me that way. Because if you don't respect yourself and you don't honor yourself, no one else would do it for you. So you're going to start honoring yourself. You're going to start respecting yourself. And so Fostering self-awareness and embracing divine guidance, we can break free from cycles, destructive cycles in our lives. Returning with humility, learning to submit to authority, and being open to growth through others can lead us through a path of renewal. This is your year, ladies. This is your year. I'm here to champion you forward. I'm here to tell you that I believe in you. I'm here to tell you that God is seeing you, that God is hearing you. And me as a human being can say, I believe in you. How much more your Father in heaven? He's seeing you from heaven right now, and he is so proud that you paid for this conference. This is an investment to your personal growth. The people that are here, you're going to have to just tell them, but it's not the same. Being in front of a chimney than seeing a chimney on the TV is not the same thing. And so you invested in your personal growth. You're investing in your spiritual life, and God's going to reward you for that. So ultimately, by confronting difficulties head on and cultivating a teachable spirit, we can emerge stronger, wiser, and renewed in our journey towards personal growth. I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you to think, what have I been running away from? What have I been running away from? I want you to ask yourself, who have I been running away from? Okay, this is a time of self-reflect. This is important. I do this in every day in my life. This is a time of self-reflect. What cycles have I been stuck in? What cycles have I been stuck? And those cycles are usually toxic cycles, the ones we can't break free from. In what area do I need personal growth? In what area do I need to grow? Another question. When faced with challenges, how do I behave? When faced with challenges, how do I behave? Are you a runner? Are you the angry person? Are you the violent person? Do you shy away? Do you retreat? When faced with challenges, how do you behave? Now I want you to look at me. I don't know if someone received a revelation. Like, were you able to receive a revelation? Like, I have the tendency to do this. If you did, can you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you for the hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But see, that's your number. Your breakthrough comes from, you raise your hand. And it's like, it had to take some humbleness, right? Raise my hand. Awareness. The angel said, where are you coming from and where are you going? She said, I'm running away. Awareness. Awareness is so important because sometimes we have blind spots in our life. And sometimes it's the people that love us that tell us, why you always have to have an attitude? I don't have no attitude. See, we have blind spots in our lives, and it takes someone else to tell you. This young girl in my church, she had these blind spots in her life. And I had to tell her, look, fine, you can leave my church, but today it's me. Tomorrow is someone else. It's not me. It's the trauma. It's not the church. It's the root of the problem. It's not that you're an angry, bitter person. There's a root to that behavior. Everything we do has a root. The way we behave has a root. Everything is rooted somewhere. And so we're going to take out those bad roots, and we're going to put some good roots in you. We're going to give that unto the Lord today. I really feel to minister today. I want to minister today. The Lord wants to set you free. I don't know if we could have some music right now. But the Lord wants to set you free from there's some things that you just need prayer and fasting. God will give you the revelation of why you are the way you are, but there's some things we could just pray out We need to pray out, and the Lord wants to set you free, and God doesn't want you to be scared. He doesn't want you to fear. The reason why you're listening to this message is because He loves you. He loves you so much that He wants to set you free. He loves you so much that He says, the renewal starts today. That life you've always imagined, why not? You do deserve to live a happy life. You do deserve to be happy in a relationship. You do deserve to be honored as a woman. You deserve to be respected as a woman. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be treated as a lady. God wants His best for His daughters. So that renewed mind starts today. That renewed life starts today. Today is a day of restoration. It's a renewal. It's a renewal process. I see a lot of butterflies here. And I was worshiping the Lord. And they said, how beautiful, Lord, because these women will probably came in feeling like la arruga. How do you say it in English? Like you feel like you're in the cocoon. But today your wings are going to spread out. And there's different people from different backgrounds, different stories. You could hear, you probably heard me tell you what I've accomplished. But if I would just share to you my childhood. If you would just know my story. Me being here is a miracle. Me sharing the word of God is a miracle. Me having a nonprofit, a church, a business is all God, ladies. I give God all the glory and all the honor. If you would just know my background. Because you could have been like, Pastor Cynthia, I hear you, but you don't know what I've been through. No, you don't know what I've been through. But I overcame. I had to do the work. I had to do the inner work. I had to confront those ugly things in my heart. Those things that for so many years I would sweep under the carpet. I don't want to feel that right now. Go back in there. But I had to confront them. I had to say, no, that abuse did affect me. Yeah, they stole my innocence as a little girl, and that hurt the way I saw things, and that changed that changed the way I saw things, and it changed the way I behaved, and it changed the way I perceive life and others. Let me start talking about that to someone. I've been through stuff, but I had to confront it head on, and I had to stop ignoring it. Because slowly but surely starts creeping into my life. And I wanted to break those cycles because I didn't want that generational curse to go into my children or my grandchildren. So I said, I'd rather do the dirty work. I'd rather pay the price because you will not touch my children. You will not touch my grandchildren. And so today is your day of justice, ladies. Today is your day of justice. Today the Lord says, I hear you and I see you. I hear you and I see you. So I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet right there. And I want you to give to God right now, surrender before the Lord. Your tendencies. That behavior, those toxic traits, those things that have been hindering you, those things that you hate about yourself, you know what they are. I want you to surrender them today. I want you right now to verbally talk to God and say, look, I give you this. Look, I've never talked about this, but today, Lord, I'm not staying quiet anymore. I'm talking about it. That abuse, that pain, I'm talking about it. That person I hate, I'm gonna talk about it. That person I need to forgive, I need to ask for forgiveness. Look, I'm willing to start. I don't know how, but I'm willing, Lord. As long as you're willing in your heart, He will do the rest. So start speaking right now to God and give Him.